Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Christos Anesti. Christ is risen. The Christos Afton. My beloved, today is the second Sunday of the holy 50 days of Pentecost. And today the church reads to us from John chapter 6. But I want you to pay attention to how it is that this very specific chapter is possibly one of the most important chapters when it comes to the belief within the church of what it means for us to say that Jesus Christ truly is divine. When we say that Jesus is God, a big reference for us is this very chapter, especially when He calls Himself the bread of life which came down from heaven. But chapter 6 is a very important chapter, not only because of that last portion of that chapter. It's a very long chapter. It has a little bit over 50 verses. And there's three major events that happen in chapter 6, and we read about it last night in Vespers. We read about it again this morning in Matins, and today we read yet again from John chapter 6, when the Lord tells him that He is the bread of life. These three major events that I want you to focus on is, number one, in the beginning of chapter 6, He feeds the multitude. So many people come to Him because they want to be taught by Him, because they heard of the miracles that He did, and because He healed so many people. And so they come to Him. And so He asks His disciples to feed them, and He ends up offering the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. This is in the beginning of the chapter. Afterwards, the Lord disappears with His disciples, and He walks on the water, and the people are searching for Him. This is the second major event. They search for Him, and they find Him, and they told Him, "Teacher, where did you go?" And then finally, the third and most important event in this chapter that is recorded is the dialogue and the narrative on "I am the bread of life," where He reveals to them that He is the one that they must be able to participate in. That He is the bread that comes down from heaven, and unless you eat of this bread that came down from heaven, you have no life in you. Now today happens to be Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers in the church, and to all of the mothers who are celebrating today, and will maybe even celebrate in the future. May the Lord protect your motherhood and bless it abundantly. Today I saw it fitting for us to speak about motherhood, but I want us to speak specifically of the motherhood of the church. I want us to ask ourselves the question, why is it that when we speak of the church, we are constantly taught to speak of her as our mother? When we speak of the church, why do we speak of her in the feminine? Why do we always call her and she? Why is she always in the feminine, and why is she called the mother? And I want us to be able to reference this back to specifically John chapter 6, to try to understand why it's so fitting for us to talk about this today. You see, there is something about the three major events that happen in John chapter 6 that are a beautiful reflection of what the church is supposed to be to all of us. The church is supposed to be that place where we are encouraged to go in order for us to be able to learn. The same way that the people ran to Christ in order for them to be able to hear His teachings, to receive comfort, not only at the level of physical healing, because they know that they received healing when He performed miracles, but that our mind and our souls may be healed through what it is that the church has to offer. They ran to Christ. They searched Him out. They did not simply say comfortably and say, "Let us know when He comes and visits our town." They searched Him out and they ran after Him with the intention of being able to receive from Him. And they did. He did not only feed them through the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He fed their souls. He fed their mind. He healed the entire person. The church is meant to be the reflection of Christ in that same way. The church is not only supposed to be the place that we learn. And yes, taban, we know that we have Sunday school and we know that we have sermons, but it's not just about that kind of learning. It's about the learning of who it is that I am supposed to come and encounter. It's the teaching of the mind and the soul and the healing of the mind and the soul for us to be able to encounter Christ whom people are searching after. But we have a big problem in the church, because you see, the church is like a hospital. It is filled with sick people. It's not like the mall, where people like to hang out, to have fun. It's a hospital. Nobody hangs out at a hospital. Nobody walks into a hospital and is offended by the fact that it's filled with sick people. If you go and you wait in the emergency room and you are waiting for you yourself to be healed, you don't complain that the person sitting next to you is coughing. Now, what did you expect? You went to the emergency. You went to the hospital. Why are you surprised to see other sick people there? The church is a hospital because it is filled with people who are saying, what? We want to be healed. But then the devil comes and he tells us, no, the church is supposed to be filled with people who are holy. The devil comes and says this, not the Holy Spirit. The church is supposed to be filled with people who are holy. The church is supposed to be filled with people who are icons of Christ. The church is supposed to be filled with people who are perfect. And then a person comes and he receives one look from one other person. He receives one word that he did not appreciate. He had one encounter that was bitter, and so that person decides, I'm never coming again. Why? Because the church was supposed to be filled with holy people, and instead, I was received by someone who is just as much a sinner as I am. What were you expecting? Were you expecting to come to church and to find the church a museum? A museum where we have works of art put on display? A museum where you come and you walk in and all you see is beautiful examples of things that are perfect and priceless? The church is filled with people who come to Christ and who tell Him, we're broken. We are broken and we are sinful and we need you to heal us. So why am I shocked when my brother is sitting next to me in the pew that I am sitting on? The very bench that you are sitting on, the brother who is sitting next to you is just as sick as you, but maybe with a different illness. But this is where the devil comes and he says, yes, both of you are sick. All of us have sin, but his sin is worse. Yes, it is. His sin is worse. Two people are in the ICU. Two people are in bed dying, and one looks at the other and says, sure, I'm dying, but your death is worse than mine. Yes, Alain. Your sin is worse than mine. What have I benefited? What have I benefited? Where is the motherhood of the church that we recognize and honor when we fail to recognize that those who we meet here in the church are the very same people that we are supposed to call our brothers and sisters because we have the same father and we have the same mother. How do we have the same mother? Saint John Chrysostom, when he was teaching in the 4th century, he says we have to honor each other for one reason and one reason only, that all of us are born from the same womb. All of us are born from the same spiritual womb. What is the spiritual womb that we were all born of? The baptismal font. The baptismal font is the womb of the church. Every single one of us was born from it. We are all brothers and sisters, but we fail to recognize this. We fail to recognize that it's okay and it's even normal for brothers and sisters to fight, for brothers and sisters to be in conflict. But to decide and say, she's not my mother anymore because I'm in conflict with my brother. I'm not coming back to my mother's house because I'm in a fight with my brother. We're giving up the motherhood and the gift of motherhood that we have in the church because there is conflict between us. Now I know I am speaking to people who are sitting in church, but all of us know of loved ones and of friends who have left for various reasons. Invite them to embrace the motherhood of the church. Invite them to forgive their brother and their sister and not to be in conflict or in distance with their mother, the church. The second part of John chapter 6, not only did he feed them when he gave them the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he blessed them and everyone ate, but they came running after him and they told him, we want more. We want more. Now there are those of us, unfortunately, who believe that the church is only here for special occasions. There are those of us who believe that the church is only here for Easter and Christmas and New Year's Eve. There are those of us who believe that the church is only here for Sunday mornings. Because Sunday mornings, that's when I go to church. And the church is nothing more than the building that I go visit on Sunday morning. God never intended for the church to be a building. God never intended, when He spoke of His church, when He spoke of His bride, when He spoke of His body, that He left us here and we are members of this church, we are members of His body. He wasn't speaking about the building. At the time where Jesus spoke, there was no building aslan. We are the church. And so for me to limit the expression of the church only to Sunday mornings, or only to Sunday school, or only to summer camp, or only to whatever it is I look forward to, then I have failed to see the beauty of the church. You see, if you only remember your mother when she cooks you a nice meal, that doesn't make you a very good child. If you only remember your mother on her birthday or on Mother's Day, that doesn't make you a very good child. For me to be a good child, I have to celebrate the motherhood of my mother every single day. I have to give thanks for her motherhood every single day. I have to recognize the gift of her motherhood to me every single day. I cannot simply only remember her on special occasions or on certain times or when I need her. It is so sad to speak to Christians who believe that somehow they can know God and they can love God without the church. There are people who believe that all they need is their Bible and somewhere that they can pray by themselves. They say, as long as I can pray and as long as I have my Bible, that's all I need. Really? Tell me, in the Bible that you have and that you worship, where does it say that? Where does He tell the disciples, all of you now, go to your rooms, hide there, don't speak to each other, don't gather, don't work together, do not assemble, do not come and love one another and serve one another, do not do all of those things that I have commanded you, rather be selfish and individualistic, close yourself up and be alone. Where is this taught? It isn't taught. For me to suggest that somehow I am not in need of the motherhood of the church, I have failed. Why? Specifically because of the third part of John chapter 6. Because in the third part of John chapter 6, He reveals to them the mystery of His body and blood. He reveals to them and tells them, unless you eat my body, unless you drink my blood, there is no life in you. There is no life in you. Nowhere else other than the church can we receive the mysteries. It is through our mother that our Father is revealed. There's a beautiful saint by the name of Saint Cyprian of Carthage. Saint Cyprian, by the way, is the same Saint Cyprian اللي هو اسمه كبريانوس. ولو تفتكروا في قصة القديسة يوستينا. يوستينا؟ يوستينا ولا يوليانا؟ يوستينا. Where there was this man who was so infatuated with her beauty that he asked for sorcerers and demons to be able to make her fall in love with him. And his name was Cyprianus, his name was Cyprian. This is the same Saint Cyprian who became the bishop of Carthage. This is the same Saint Cyprian who became a great father in the church. This Saint Cyprian, he says something very simple. He says, you cannot have God as your father unless you have the church as your mother. You cannot have God as your father unless you have the church as your mother. Why? Because it is the church that gives birth to you and you are adopted by God. It is the church that feeds you the bread of life, the very body and blood of Christ through the mysteries. It is the church that washes you over and over again through the mystery of confession and repentance. It is the church that raises you and nourishes you. It is the very church that we have to celebrate. We see a model in John chapter 6 of how it is the Lord is telling us, you need the one I will leave behind. You need the one that I will establish. You need the one that I will give her the keys to the kingdom. And for those of us who know people who have left or who are distant or are who hesitant to come back, talk to them about the love of their mother. Talk to them about the beauty of the church. Talk to them about why it is that we need her. The church is not simply a gathering place. God forbid that the church should only become a place where we socialize, a place where we come and hang out, a place where we send our kids to have a break. Sometimes I'm afraid that this is what we do. Forgive me for what I'm about to say. Please take it with love and bear with me as I say it. Sometimes I'm afraid that Sunday school has become nothing more than babysitting and daycare so parents can have breakfast. Sometimes I'm afraid that coming and dropping our kids off on Friday night is just for us to be able to have a break to go do groceries. Sometimes I'm afraid that Vespers and hymns classes has become nothing more than a drop-off service so I can go ahead and have an hour and a half to myself. The church is not a daycare. The church is not babysitting. I am the one who needs the church. I don't come and drop off my kids and run. I am the one who needs the church. I need to teach my kids to love the motherhood that exists in her, that they may feed off of everything that she wants to offer them. The church is not the building that I go to on Sunday morning only. The church is not the place where I go and see other people who are like me from the same homeland where I was born, people and community that I am used to. All of those things are wonderful and they are found and offered in the church. But the church without the altar, and the church without her motherhood, and the church without the mysteries is worthless. She would be a useless mother if it wasn't for the mysteries, if it wasn't for her introducing us to God the Father, if it wasn't for her being the bride of Christ. Today when you celebrate your sisters, your daughters, your wives, your mothers, when you tell someone today, Happy Mother's Day, every time you say Happy Mother's Day, raise your heart and give thanks to God for the church that He has given to us. Not the building, but the real mother, the one who watches over us and teaches us and nourishes us. May the Lord grant us to constantly make our church, our mother, a place where people are nourished, where people are fed, and where people can see Christ. To God be all glory now and forever and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.